Let's go.
מאמר השלום בעולם, כותרת ארבע עמידות.
איפה כתוב שם?
Where does it say that the opening to hell is you read, you start reading. The four attributes, mercy, justice, truth, and peace. Go ahead.
The four attributes, mercy, truth, justice, and peace, in the individual and in the collective. Once we know full well the desired attribute of goodness, we should examine the things and the means at our disposal in order to hasten the delight and happiness. Four attributes are provided for that purpose: mercy, truth, justice, and peace. These attributes have been used by all world reformers thus far. It is more correct to say that it is with our four attributes. It has already been written that it is better for us to take the law of development under our own hands and government, for then we will rid ourselves of any torment that the developmental history has in store for us henceforth. Thus, we should scrutinize and examine those four properties in order to thoroughly understand what we have been given thus far, and by them know what aid we should hope to get from them in the future.
So, is it clear? What it says here, is it clear to you?
Baal HaSulam writes against creation, against the Creator. Let's maybe stop following what he's telling us. Is this what he is writing?
Maybe. We have to examine these things, and maybe the examination itself, it has to be completely independent. Is there a creator? Isn't there? Right now we're examining the forces of nature: mercy, truth, justice, peace. He says that these four, they're the ones that control us. So please.
Practical difficulties in determining the truth. When we discuss good attributes in theory, there is certainly no better attribute than the attribute of truth. This is because all the good that we have defined above in relationship between the individual and the collective is when the individual gives and fully plays his part toward the collective, and also takes his share from the collective justly and honestly. All this is but the truth. But the drawback is that, in fact, the collective does not accept this attribute at all. Thus, the practical difficulty in the above-mentioned truth is proven from itself. There is some drawback and a cause here that makes it unacceptable to the collective. We must examine what is that drawback. When you closely examine the above-mentioned truth from the perspective of its practical feasibility, you will necessarily find it vague and complicated, and it is impossible for the human eye to scrutinize it, since the truth requires that we equalize all the individuals in the collective so they receive their share according to their labor, no more and no less. This is the one true basis which cannot be doubted, for it is certain that anyone who wishes to enjoy the labor of his friend, his acts are against the above-mentioned reason and clear truth. But how do we think that we can scrutinize the truth, that truth, in a way that is acceptable to the collective? For example, if we evaluate something according to the apparent labor, meaning according to the number of hours, and compel each one to work an equal number of hours, we will still not discover the attribute of truth at all. Moreover, there is an evident lie here for two reasons. The first is the physical side, and the second is the mental side of the worker. That is because, by nature, the power to work is not equal in each and every person. One person in the society labors in 1 hour of work due to its weakness, to his weakness, much more than another who works 2 hours or more. And there is also a psychological matter here. Since he, who is very lazy by nature, exhausts himself in 1 hour more than his friend in 2 hours or more. According to the perspective of the evident truth, we should not compel one part of society to labor more than the other part of, for the satisfaction of the needs of their lives. But in truth, the naturally strong and nimble in society benefit from the labor of others and exploit them maliciously against the attribute of truth, for they labor very little compared to the weak and lazy in society. And if we also consider the natural law taken after the majority, then such a truth takes the number of hours of apparent work as a basis. Such a truth that takes the number of hours of apparent work as a basis is completely infeasible, since the weak and the lazy are always the vast majority in society, and they will not allow the nimble and strong minority to exploit their strength and labor. Thus, you see that the above-mentioned basis, which is the labor of the individual on the condition of the evident truth, and with it the majority in the society, is completely impractical, since it cannot be examined and evaluated in any way. Thus, you find that the attribute of truth has no practical ability to organize the path of the individual and the path of the collective in an absolute and satisfactory manner. Also, it is completely insufficient for organizing life at the end of the correction of the world.
Meaning that the attribute of truth, as good as it might be, first of all, we can't realize it, and even if we do, it will be completely unsatisfying to us.
Furthermore, there are even greater difficulties here because there is no clearer truth than nature itself. And it is natural that each and every individual feels himself in the world of the Creator as a sole ruler, that all the others were created only to ease and improve his life without feeling any obligation whatsoever to give anything in return. In simple words, we will say that the nature of each and every person is to exploit the lives of all other people in the world for his own benefit, and all that he gives to another is only out of necessity. Even then, there is exploitation of others in it, but it is done cunningly, so his friend will not notice it and concede willingly. The reason for this is that the nature of every branch is close to its root. And because man's soul extends from the Creator, who is one and unique, and everything is his, likewise, man who extends from him feels that all the people in the world should be under his own governance and for his own private benefit. This is an unbreakable law. The only difference is in people's choices. One chooses to exploit people by obtaining lowly lusts, and one by obtaining governance, while the third by obtaining respect. Furthermore, if one could do it without much effort, he would agree to exploit the world with all three together, wealth, governance, and respect. However, he is forced to choose according to his possibilities and capabilities. This law can be called the law of singularity in man's heart. And no person escapes it, rather each and every one takes his share in that law. The great according to his size, and the small according to his size. Thus, the above law of singularity in the nature of every person is neither condemned nor praised, as it is natural, a natural reality, and has a right to exist like all parts of reality. And there is no hope to eradicate it from the world or even slightly blur its form. Just as there is no hope to eradicate the entire human race from earth. Therefore, we will not be lying at all if we said about this law that it is the absolute truth. Since it is undoubtedly so, how can we even try to ease one's mind by promising him equality with all the people in the collective? Nothing is further from the human nature than this. While one's sole inclination is to soar higher above the whole collective. Thus we have thoroughly clarified that there is no real possibility to bring good and joyful conduct to the life of the individual and the life of the collective by following the attribute of truth in a way that it will ease the mind of each and every individual so he may completely agree to it, so it should be at the end of correction.
So it's clear, right? Meaning that the attribute of truth is a good, nice, simple, egoistic attribute, the way we got it from above, from the upper force, from the Creator, from nature, doesn't matter how you call it, that we behave by it and we have no ability of making anything out of it or raising it or coloring it in some way. But no, everyone wants to exploit all of reality as much as he can to his own benefit instinctively, and furthermore to the extent to which he develops himself to succeed in this respect. Questions? None. Everyone's in it, besides Neve.
He defines here two opposites as the measure of truth. So you understand, on the one hand he says the absolute ego is the true, is the absolute truth, and the other hand it says absolute equality is the absolute truth.
No, if everyone should be well off, then there should be equality, but it's impossible because it's completely opposite to our own nature, meaning ideals are ideals, but reality is reality. And these two things can never connect or go together. You can't change nature so everyone will truly be as one. No.
So why in the beginning of the chapter it says if the difficulty is in determining the truth, we have no other measure than the truth, then all the good that we have defined above is the relationship between the individual and the collective, is when the individual gives and fully plays his part towards the collective and also takes his share from the collective justly and honestly.
Meaning it would be the most beautiful attribute if we could keep it. On the other hand, the attribute of truth comes from nature, that everyone wants to use everyone as much as he can.
So how does he define two opposite forms as the measure of truth?
Good. What can we tell Neve? That this comes from above, and this comes from below. From heaven, you're saying everyone has to be equal, everyone has to get equal. Really, what? We're all human beings, right? Then why not? On the other hand, if you look at each and every one in particular, you see the measure of truth that acts in him. I'm right, I deserve it, it's for me, and so on.
With the second one, you cannot argue. The egoistic measure, as the measure of truth, is very tangible.
And this philosophical attribute, is it socially incorrect? Is it incorrect? Is the idea itself, is its ideal incorrect?
The one who has this ideal, then here, he writes about it later. Maybe I'm making a mistake. So some have this ideal and some don't.
Doesn't matter. What matters to us is what are we made of, that we cannot achieve that ideal by our own ego. One contradicts the other. No. Yeah?
How come humanity has a tendency to kind of align everyone, to be everyone equal?
Theoretically, it's clear that this way everyone's going to be content, that no one has more, no one has less. People will feel safe, will be in peace. Everything's open. It's as if something ideal, because there's the state of equilibrium, of balance, that's the most correct state for nature. It's the balance between forces, and then there's nothing that awakens any kind of motion, because motion is all in all in order to achieve rest.
There's still a tendency for everyone to put in the effort.
This is our nature. Until I'll be greatest in mankind, I will not come down.
I want everyone to put in the exertion that I give, or everyone invest something.
Yeah, that's the desire to control everyone.
What does the individual owe the public? He says each one has to receive from society and give to it. What should the individual give? What is the minimum?
Because if we're talking about
human
unanimous society, then everyone has to know how much does he give to society, meaning everything that you can. You don't yet know what's necessary, what's not. You have to be willing to give society everything to society. And each and every one. Maybe society doesn't need it, but you have to be willing, ready for it. Well, these are things that the ideology is clear. What, Gilad?
I have a question mark from everything, because according to what I understood, the measure of truth, the attribute of truth, you can't convince a person that he needs correction accordingly. He has no benefit from it. He has the law of singularity. He's saying the absolute truth is the law of singularity. He wants to be the ruler, the one who's unique and the one who decides, and it's opposite from the correction we have to come to, where everyone is equal.
Of course.
So what's the benefit when explaining a person he should go towards correction?
Therefore, there is a wisdom that explains that either you reach a state where you appreciate the corrected state, or you plunge into such problems that the corrected state seems to you like heaven. Put people into suffering, and you'll see how much they agree to be in peace and quiet, that bread and water is enough for them. Obviously.
If you don't want the suffering to come first,
therefore you need the method of correction. That you have to begin to invite forces that will form, that will shape in you such attributes that you will actually want to be corrected. You must reach balance with everyone else, because otherwise you ruin the whole of nature, the still, vegetative, and the animate, and you endanger your own life and the life of our entire planet. This is what we're going to really see, tangibly see, how all of nature, the ecosystem, everything are really falling out of balance completely.
Ken? Ma?
What?
There's questions. How to understand correctly what cannot be condemned, neither praised nor condemned? Are the desires of food and sex such desires you can't touch?
Let's continue, and don't give us smart aleck questions. We have a line that we're following. So, no philosophy. Moscow, what do you want? In the meantime, I feel that you only want to stay in Moscow, and you're not even planning on coming to Moldova. Is this correct? I'm even thinking about closing the list and not allowing any more people to register for the Congress, so you won't come. I feel no awakening on your part.
Вопрос можно, Рав?
Ты шагал.
Can I ask a question?
Ask. I'm really mad at them.
I have a question, not on the article, but on the discussion from before.
Yeah, so
be it. You're talking about the circles, second circle, third circle, without the word Kabbalah or creator. Let's say consumer society. So the question is, how to solve the problem? Should we find out what is the deficiency of the consumer society, to feel it, and then to show that connection will help them attain what they want? But the main thing is to understand, what is connection? Because we always have the question, what do we need to do? More than half of our vessel can't explain what is connection. Until we scrutinize for ourselves, there's no point explaining it. The first thing. The second thing is, in Moscow group, we have a group of friends who developed this method over 2 years. We're already in a society of second and third circles. We have work that we've done and results that we've collected, and we presented it to Boris Belzakrovsky that was here. It's been a month and a half. We didn't receive any answers. Why am I saying it? As you said, we can sit in the cave and pray, and we can go out and do. But in order to do, we have to come out of those circles, second and third, scrutinize what's happening there. As Baal Salam said, sell it to them, but not just sell like you sell a cow, but check for us. What are we talking about? So they will believe us. And I said, here in Moscow, there's a group of friends who is doing such a project.
Okay. I have to examine. What do they have? Fine. Let's continue. In the meantime, Moscow, register for the Congress if you want to go there, because really, according to how you're aspiring for connection, we can see it according to your registration. You're the last in the list, I think.
We
continue. In the absence of the ability to establish the attribute of truth, they try to establish the basic attributes. Now let us turn to the remaining three attributes: mercy, justice, and peace. It seems that to begin with, they were created only to be used as support for the attribute of truth, which is very weak in our world. From here, the developmental history began to climb its slow and straggler degrees in its progress toward organizing the lives of the collective. In theory, the whole society willingly agreed to took it upon themselves not to deviate in any way from the truth. But in fact, they conducted themselves completely opposite from the truth, as was agreed. Since then, it has been the fate of truth to always be in the hands of the most deceitful and never in the hands of the weak and righteous. So they could even be somewhat assisted by the attribute of truth. When they could not establish the attribute of truth in the life of the collective, the exploited and the weak increased within society. And from here emerged the attributes of mercy and justice to do their actions in the conduct of society. Since the existence of the whole society compelled the successful ones among them to support the straggling, so as to not harm the society in general. Therefore, they behave with them indulgently, meaning with mercy and charity. But it is only natural that under such conditions, the straggling and exploited ones proliferate until there are enough of them to protest against the successful and start quarrels and fights. From here emerged the attribute of peace in the world. Thus, all those attributes, mercy, charity, and peace, emerged and were born out of the weakness of truth. And this is what caused society to divide into sects. Some adopted the attributes of mercy and charity, giving of their own possessions to others, and some adopted the attribute of truth, meaning what's mine is mine, and what's yours is yours. In simpler words, we can divide the two sects into constructors and destructors. Constructors are the ones who want construction, the benefit of the collective, for which they are often willing to give of their own possessions to others. But those who are naturally prone to destruction and recklessness were more comfortable clinging to the attribute of truth, meaning what's mine is mine and what's yours is yours, for their own benefit, and they would never want to give up anything of their own to others without taking into consideration the risk of the well-being of the collective, for they are destructors by nature.
See what he writes about the destructors. Mine is mine, yours is yours, that I don't touch what's yours, you don't touch mine. And if I don't interact with the other, that's destruction. And so how can you agree to that? Because Yosef doesn't want peace. So what do you want from him? This is how I succeed. I did this, I did that by my own hands. I didn't breach any laws. Everything's fine. It's fine. That's that. No. According to reality that we're in this system, it's called the destructors. Yeah. On the other hand, communism and fascism generate destruction too. Meaning everyone determines for everyone what to do and so on. And true. If you impose connection upon everyone forcefully, then you put everyone into concentration camps, military camps, I don't know what kind of camp is it. You can't do it forcefully. It has to be only according to a person's preparation that he wants it, that he's willing to be together and in mutual support. The correction that has to precede that, by our own nature, sure, we're unwilling and ready. And this is what he says, that we ruled out the quality or the attribute of truth. So now let's see. Justice, peace, mercy. He says that it is in order to complete the measure of truth. And do we? All in all, we want to see how, by these supporters, do we bring the nature of man closer to the nature of the Creator? Is it possible? This is actually what peace in the world means. Right? Yeah.
What is the divine nature?
Divine nature means truth that exists, that's sustainable both in spirituality and in corporeal
what we want
reality. But we can't. We don't even understand. We don't even have the feeling of that system. We don't. Because, to begin with, I'm in a different system where I take only myself into consideration, where I'm sure that I'm right, where I don't see anyone else, I don't feel anyone else. So how could it be? Were I in a system that the entire system is felt as my own? But there is no such thing. Even though that I'm told that the entire world, all of reality, all people, it's me, right? This is what we learn from perception of reality. But what do I have as a result? I don't feel it. And therefore, I can't take them into consideration. I can philosophize about it, but it's philosophy. It's not reality. So what are you going to do? Meaning, until we will feel, until we will really feel reality in a real, truthful manner, that this is how it is, I won't be able to take the world into consideration that way. Now the question is, how can I feel that network of Adam HaRishon, of the one soul? I have to feel it in my desires of in order to receive, or in my desire in order to bestow, within reason or above reason, but I need it. And to the extent to which I'm not advancing toward it, then the path of suffering opens up before me. Even in regard to suffering or not suffering, let's take interest in the path of bestowal.
So a person has to feel the whole world is his. He's got to feel the whole world outside of him.
The entire world is my soul. But I'm in my body, and that's the only thing that I'm concerned with. It'll die in 20, 30 years, or tomorrow, or the next moment. I care for it. I live in it, I care for it. That's it.
And the desired state?
The preferable state is that I rise a bit above my body, disconnect from it somewhat, and will only see it as a means for sustaining the soul, and to think about my eternal existence. And I can do it by society. Without society, I fall into the body, and there's no correction.
So I turn on the news every day, I read what you said, it's a catastrophe, what's happening. I feel the pain of the whole world. What should that do? What do I want to get to?
This has to pressure me, push me to acknowledge the method of correction as quickly as possible, and the method of correction is the method of connection. And it doesn't depend just on me, it depends on everyone, the extent to which it will spread. And not in all of mankind, it's enough in the people of Israel.
The divine nature is that everyone is connected as one man in one heart. What do I want to give to people?
I don't know. This is what we have to scrutinize. Where are we? Hopes for peace. What, Avigdor? You want to say something good? Tell us about something good.
I wanted to ask a question about yours is yours and mine is mine.
Mine is mine is fine.
It looks like humanity has advanced towards a more extreme version.
Right.
What's mine is mine and what's yours is mine. On the one hand, the elites are only growing richer, and it's the expense of the middle class and the workers. It's really felt, especially in the United States. On the other hand, in the last 2-3 years, there's a renaissance of socialist ideas where the weak come and say, give us, the rich should give us. There are propositions to cancel big corporations, prohibit the existence of billionaires, want to take their money, and it's not good.
Why isn't
thing.
It good? Why aren't billionaires good? Why is taking from billionaires not good?
Oh, why taking from the billionaires is not good?
From what I understand from research, I don't see that they are correctly using their fortune.
It's true, there are great philanthropic charities.
You know, all this is what you're trying to fool us.
But as you said a few minutes ago, a person profited honestly. Jeff Bezos started Amazon for selling books, now he became the richest person in the world. Why is it bad? He pays taxes, he didn't steal, didn't exploit. He honestly made his money. Now, taking his money, the Russians did it, and we saw what happened.
of course, this isn't good and that isn't good.
So my question is this, mine is mine and yours is mine. It's not good if the rich want to take more from the poor or if the poor want to exterminate the rich. In both directions, it's not a good phenomenon. My question is, are these new ideas that are emerging in the U.S. where 70% of the population, especially the young ones, seek some sort of a social justice and nice socialist ideas, are the ideas themselves incorrect or they're impractical?
The ideas are correct, but practically wise, sure it won't succeed. It leads to even more distorted things in society. This is what's going to happen.
Meaning we don't object the ideas.
I don't object anything at all. I have no connection to them because our method is unique and it's based on the rules of the world and that they think to change things one way or another, to establish artificial laws in society without truly knowing what is society established on internally, spiritually, which are the laws of nature, actually. If they want to turn it one way or another, this is their problem. Nothing will come out.
How to relate to their temporary successes?
It's natural.
Partial success?
What's the problem? And the way they used Afro-Americans as slaves, the way they used everyone in order to succeed in industry during the times of the Second World War, if you're talking about the United States, to the extent to which later on they surged by Hollywood and all the advertisement that comes with it and everything. That all of that was used in order to somehow rise from those ruins, and it worked out for them, but it won't repeat itself. That's it. Also, the Russians, you see what happened there. To the extent to which America grew richer because the Russians fell since 1990, it's unbelievable how much they got from it. And altogether, for 10 years or even more, they did not increase. They didn't have to invest more in weapons and arms and so on. In the meantime, industry developed and so on. And also they moved to China, different factories. There was, it flourished. It was all about count the money. I don't want to get into it. Also, I can't exactly express what I...
I'll try to ask again. Typically, our approach says sit and don't do is better. With respect to necessity, there's no point in changing anything on the outside before there's a recognition of evil and an inner change in a person. There's no point in establishing a more corrected economic form. That's what we say. But there are things in Israel and the world where people are kind of waving before us and say, what do you want? They negated the minimum wage 3 times, and tens of thousands of people went out to, you know, became poor. Let's say it's a fact. They tried a temporary solution. They tried. They talked about raising the minimum wage. There are corporations that decided to raise the minimum wage, and their employees enjoyed it. How can we come and say this is not the method, it's going to fail, and so on?
This is not something that I'm going to explain. I'm sorry. You're all the time looking for how to put in a small remedy into the economical system.
I'm not looking for it. I'm looking for those who say it's possible to do it slice by slice.
Slice up the salami in the meantime. Go ahead. I'm sure that this isn't the method. But who does that? The rich and those that are next to them in order to keep on slicing it for themselves. In the meantime, we see that things aren't getting any better. And this is how it is in all countries, and doesn't matter in what regime, and the way people live in Russia altogether, it's terrible. And in all the countries, and also what you have in the United States and in Europe, France, England, Germany, the problem there isn't economical, but it's much worse. It's the problem of with the population itself. That if in England, Germany, and France you have the majority of people who are born are Muslims, then that's it. The mayor of London, what's his name? He's Muslim. And so on and so forth. So you see, they're losing themselves. It's not a matter of economy. It's a matter of identity. That they're no longer, that those countries no longer exist. It's no longer France, Germany, and England, but it's something new, something different. It's something that has to be acknowledged. Soon you'll have the same in the United States, undoubtedly. Only there, it's more various. It's with the South Americans, with the Latinos. But still, big changes have to happen. But undoubtedly, that see what will happen in Europe, how Europe will be in 10 years, how much it will change. You don't need anything. You don't need revolutions. You don't need nothing. It simply unfolds that way. And Europe's disappearing. But the method, we'll see. I'm telling you that there will be a demand for it, and we will have to show the entire world the method of correction. Imagine that if instead of today's anti-Semitism that's only growing in quantity, anti-Semitism will grow in quality, qualitatively, that they'll come to the people of Israel and say, where is the correction of the world? Where is what you're talking about? Where is love another as yourself? Where is what's written in your Torah? What's up? Like Henry Ford wrote. You read what he wrote. Jews have to realize their destiny, and this is, what does he say there? And this is what the nations of the world are actually expecting of them. This is what has to start becoming revealed now. Now it's just an anti-Semitic wave. They hate, and that's that. And it's also the very beginning. But eventually, this is what's going to be revealed. And what are you going to say? This is what you're going to be hated for not developing the method of correction, of connection, and you have the ability to do it, and you're the only one that can. They can't develop it on their own. And this is specifically what they hate you for not bringing them the method of connection. That this is the only thing that mankind actually needs for all of its problems. Yes? What do you want? Quickly.
Last question about what Dudi said, that he's not happy, and the friend from Moscow that could feel he has a big deficiency. I think that when people from the second and third circles do discover what we are all about, they say, like the cats that Balsamo writes about, mice will always be mice and not waiters. And here we have the weakness, how to explain the method, because they understand that they change human nature. Rav, I don't know how to explain, but we have to look for a solution. And then the bright idea will come. I don't know. You think I'm hiding it from you? And the demand will come, I'm telling you, in a very precise, very clear demand. What does Henry Ford say? He said, the international Jew, the world's central problem. He writes there, the Jews are a race that kept themselves with livelihood and strength by keeping those natural laws that breaking them caused the rotting of so many other nations. It's a race that stands before us as a sign of the antiquity from where all our spiritual wealth comes from. And he writes later, for too long a time, the Jew was accustomed to think of himself as the only master of humanity in society. The society has a great demand from him to stop his uniqueness, to stop his exploitation of the whole world, and to start realizing his old prophecy, since through him all the nations in the world will be blessed. Rav, like that. The way he wrote, many people saw it, understood it, and from within them. And we are also helping them with that. We advertise this knowledge that there is in the people of Israel, the method of correction, and the fact that they're not opening it to everyone and not showing to everyone this method in practice. That's the reason the nations of the world awaken with a demand to the people of Israel, meaning the rightful, justified anti-Semitism. What are we doing with our method? That's how it works out. This is the question, to shout, why do you hate us? And they say, you're stealing and everything. And also, they're right. Who are those Jews? The ones who succeed in everything. No, now they know a bit more correctly that the hate is hate for those who are keeping the method of correction and are unable to open it up for themselves and to others. Yesh Moshi. There's a contradiction. We read a week ago about Philon Alexandroni, Philo, the historian, how the nations of the world were impressed by the connection that existed between the Jews, how they went to the temple back then. So I understand we also have to be an example. And I don't know, I don't think someone would look at us today and could say that we are an example. So you, at one point you said we shouldn't be an example, we can't be an example. So we should, we can't, we're not. If we were an example, it was clear to me how would people be drawn to us or to our explanations. These are people you can see. Rav, no, Mushi. Other than recognition of evil, I don't see that the method works in connection. On the contrary, which is fine, it brings us to a prayer, it's clear, but how should it work? Rav, I don't think that if we'll create a successful kibbutz, like a communal settlement, everyone would want to come and join. Mushi, no, just normal relationship. Rav, they don't know what is normal relationship or not. Mushi, and then the nation of the world will look and see. Maybe something in externality. Rav, no, this Philo lived here, he saw it with his external eye, how they go to bow down at the temple. That's what he saw. What can he see? Moshi, okay, let go of that. Sometimes you go walk into a family and you say, oh, I envy the good relationship between a husband and a wife. Rav, okay, stay there for a few days, you'll see. Moshi, no, I'm asking. I understand correctly. We will never be an example. The nations of the world will come and say, well, where are you? Where's love thy friend as yourself? We'll tell them, what are you talking about? Rav, don't think that anyone will come to you. You have to go out to them. And together with them, you will build the correct society, period. That's it. Don't confuse yourself between the two. What you're building there is not what will happen here. Here, you will want to kill one another, I wish. Moshi, I understand, but they will ask for an example. You say, you have a method. Rav, the example will be with what you do in them. Not in the Kabbalistic society. Not in society of Kabbalists, because between them there will always be fire and love, layer on top of layer.
So, we're not an example?
We're not. No, you can't. Here, people are on fire. They don't want... How can you do it? Rami now wants to kill his neighbors. And they want to strangle him. That's it. No. It doesn't belong to that. We're not an example. A Kabbalistic society cannot be an example for those who do not belong to spiritual advancement, only to corporeal advancement.
Henry Ford, what he just said, that you have to be an example, like the ancient prophecy says.
He wrote to the people of Israel that the people of Israel has to arrange themselves in this way.
Not the Kabbalists, to the people of Israel.
No. Not the Kabbalists, but he understood the idea. That this idea exists in the people of Israel. He felt it from truly a special soul, very exalted soul, from the side of corruption, the Sitra Acha, the other side, but a high soul nonetheless.
Can you explain the connection between the wisdom of connection and the importance of the goal?
I think it's one and the same. The wisdom of connection and the importance of the goal. I don't see the attainment of the goal without realizing the connection, and I don't think we can realize or implement connection between us if we're not coming to the dissemination of the wisdom of connection in the people. Just as we read in a few places that the head doesn't work for the sake of the body, the goof, and that's why Israel, Yashar Kel, can only exist on the condition that they aim themselves to the general correction, the correction of the world, the realization of the world. Otherwise, they have no right to exist.
We, the friends, have a feeling that there is a missing link between what I want to disseminate to the people, tell the world that connection is good, that we'll be well off, that'll prevent problems, and the inner work that we have to do here on the importance of the goal.
For you also, the importance of the goal is connection, but in a higher degree than them. But the goal is the same. Let's say you have some high engineer that designs a machine they have to build, and you have to build it with your own hands. But you have one goal, that the machine will exist and that it will work. But he is on the side of planning, and you're on the side of operations.
No. When my little child tells me, Dad, I want to be a fireman when I'll grow up, then I know I'll buy him some toy, and I know how to see the connection between the toy that I buy him today, that for him is a toy, and the future where...
That's why we're learning what happens in the world. Why is the world entering such states, such dangerous states? And why are we learning these articles to see in what conditions can society come to good? And here we have to find a way how to explain it to ourselves and to them. First of all, to ourselves. All your arguments, your complaints, why, how come we don't know how to connect? That's what I'm hearing. You don't know. That's why you need to take care of it. And you have to try and investigate as much as possible. And then you will know, and you will know how to tell it to others. And even then, only halfway, because the other half you'll discover when you begin to work with them and realize in them the method. Then you'll begin to understand it even more. But at least to go out and begin, we have to do it between us. And this is how what we learn from the wisdom of Kabbalah, that the upper half of the Pratsuf is doing by himself, and the lower half, the Chap, is doing by connecting to the Galgalta Venaim of the lower one. Otherwise, it doesn't build himself. And to understand exactly from taking care of the lower one, then it will be together there with the light of Chokhmah.
So, would it be correct to talk to the friends about us having to do this work with the public, even though that we don't feel it yet? And by looking for it, this will actually...
In order to take out.
Yeah, to build something that... Yeah.
If you're doing it in order to take it out, it will be successful.
Then it will be built in us too.
Yes, otherwise, never. No, Partsuf exists only for himself.
In the past, about 15 years ago, we had a period in which we talked a lot about dissemination. We had a congress about dissemination. We had the Arasa document. We had hours of lessons where we talked about how to develop it all. And now there's a very strong emphasis on our development inside the group. And you're saying that also the entire correction is inside the 10. And lately, we've been talking about it only for 30, 40 minutes. We're reading the writings of the last generation. But so I don't know where to find additional time where we can, as a group or individually, talk about the development of the method. We have lessons in the evening. We have 4 times a day Zoom. I feel that we lack the training. I don't have any complaints to you, but I'm just saying that we're not keeping up with the pace of the development of the world technologically and so on, how to come out to the people, how to disseminate short videos, how to disseminate on Facebook. There are people here who know how to do it, but in general, I feel that we have to put a much stronger emphasis on developing all of Bnei Baruch and so on. That will all develop, to talk about it, give it the importance, but first of all, where do you take the time for it? And B, you have to train people, give them the tools.
Mr. C. Okay, you have here Mr. C. Demand from him to prepare the material for us, and we will work on that more. I'm all for it. We need to finish the pticha and finish it well, so you will see the state of reality and also how it plays in everything in this mutual activation, this round system. I want you to feel it inside, so you'll be able to connect inside of you what's happening. And the other side is the method of connection. There's nothing more. We're learning about the system of connection, which is Pticha and Tes, and the method of correction, how we're included in it and how we open it up emotionally with our knowledge, with our feelings, and so on. Take the last part of the lesson to develop the method? Rav, yeah, I'm for it. For a while now, I'm saying that we need to develop the method of connection. It's time.
Just to add to what Eddie said, this evening at 9:30 there's a Zoom All the women will join a Zoom on how to disseminate the newspaper, their newspaper, the women's newspaper, through digital media, through other, in every possible way. I'm asking the women to join, and also men, please help women join this evening, 9:30, for the Israeli Kli, a Zoom on how to disseminate the newspaper. So good luck, and...
That's important because women are 70% of our body. Okay, what are you so quiet about? Where are we?
Tikvat Shalom. Bakasha.
Kuteret Tikvat Shalom.
Hope of peace.
Once those conditions brought society a greater deal of strife and risked the well-being of society, the peacemakers appeared in society. They have assumed control and power and renewed the social life based on new conditions which they considered true to suffice for the peaceful existence of society. Yet the majority of those peacemakers, which spring up after every dispute, naturally come from among the destructors, meaning from the seekers of truth, by way of what's mine is mine and what's yours is yours. This is because they are the powerful and courageous ones in society called heroes and courageous, for they're always willing to renounce their own lives and the lives of the whole collective if the collective disagrees with their views. But the constructors in society, who are the men of mercy and charity, who care for their own lives and for the life of the collective, refuse to risk themselves or the public in order to impose their opinion on the collective. Hence, they're always on the weak side in society, called the faint-hearted and the coward. It is therefore obvious that the hand of the reckless, brave, will always be on top. And it is natural that all the peacemakers come from among the destructors and not from the constructors. By this, we see how the hope for peace, which our generation so yearns for, is futile, both from the perspective of the subject and from the perspective of the predicate. For the subjects who are the peacemakers of our time and in any generation, meaning those who have the power to make peace in the world, are forever made of the human substance we all call destructors. For they are seekers of truth, meaning to establish the world on the attribute of what's mine is mine and what's yours is yours. It's natural that those people defend their opinions firmly to the point of risking their own lives and the life of their entire collective. And this is what gives them the power to always prevail over the human substance called constructors, the seekers of mercy and charity, who are willing to give up of their own for the sake of others in order to save the world, since they are the faint-hearted and the coward. It turns out that seeking truth and the destruction of the world are one and the same, and the seeking mercy and the construction of the world are one and the same, too. Therefore, we should not hope from the destructors to establish the peace, and it is hopeless to hope for peace from the predicate, meaning from the conditions of peace itself, since the proper conditions for the well-being of the individual and the well-being of the collective, according to the criterion of truth that these peacemakers so desire, have not been established. And it is a must that there will always be a large minority in society who are dissatisfied with the conditions offered to them. As we have shown above regarding the weakness of the truth, they will always remain a ready and willing fuel for the new quarrelsome people and for the new peacemakers who will always follow.
We have to read it a few more times and with the head a bit clearer. I see that we entered a certain slumber. Okay. What do we have more to do? No. Let's ask Moscow. What do they want?
No, Moscow, чего им надо?
Да, такой момент.
There are actually three things we want to ask about. First of all, today we have acknowledged that we're really in a bad state of affairs. We found out that only 40% of the friends are going to Moldova, and only 10 of them, 10%, registered for the Congress. We simply saw this picture this morning, and so we're going to direct all of our forces in order to change this direction. This is the first thing.
No, we want to know why this happens in the central group of Russians. Why specifically the Russians? That everyone thinks they're so strong, everyone is attracted to the wisdom of Kabbalah, connection, everything. How come they are in such a shape? Just explain to us. We thought that we are one group. Suddenly we discover that there's a Moscow group that really just a tail that's not following the rest of the body, the general body. That out of all the other places, people sign up, people come and with joy, but not from the Moscow group. We don't understand it. Explain to us what's going on. Because we are having this Congress for Russian speakers and in Russian. And we don't understand what's happening. So who are we doing this for? Why do we need to have it? We could do it elsewhere. I would hold it in Italy, let's say. I don't understand. Explain to me. What's going on?
First of all, you're all the time saying that this Congress is for the Russian-speaking clique. We didn't want to raise this subject, but probably we can't avoid it. The Russian-speaking clique, there is no such connected Russian-speaking clique like the one that we want to achieve. There's separately the group of Moscow, the group of Peter, Ural, Sibir, Kazakhstan that get together. There's the Ukraine separately, Pribaltica, but as one Russian-speaking clique, it doesn't exist. It's not like the all of North America, like they have this one. Like they're more united, like they have this one Yeshivat Chavirim or something, and this is something that we don't have. And we found out, okay, we have this problem, that there are several separate parts in the Russian-speaking clique, and the Congress is a good time to try and saw these parts together. Well, at least we saw it. Before that, we didn't see it at all. We thought that if things fine. And now we discovered it and we saw that there's work to do, what to aspire for. And we really hope that the preparation for the Congress will allow us to bring these parts together. And therefore, this is probably the attitude that we have in the Moscow group and the registration because of the insufficient feeling of being a collective. So we'll try to overcome this in ourselves, but at least we saw it. So this is the state that we're in now.
No. Вот, но сказать на самом деле хотели.
What we actually wanted to say isn't important.
То есть, ну и соответственно большая просьба ко всем.
Meaning we have a big request to all the groups in the world that have something common.
К регионам, я имею в виду большие.
Meaning big regions.
Южная Европа. Ну, расскажите нам.
Europe, East, West. Tell us, how did you bring it all together into one? How were you able to force yourself to do something together as a collective? Give us an example, maybe. Put pressure on us, write us, demand it of us. So show your attitude toward us too. We did the same for you when you had complicated situations, so don't leave us alone. That's a request.
Okay,
we'll have to open our hearts and awaken ourselves in love to them and embrace them as much as possible. Strangle them with love until they have no choice but to enter into connection with all the other Russian-speaking parts in the world. Sadly, I discovered it not too long ago. And I'm getting this knowledge not from the group just themselves, this impression, but from people that are seemingly on the outside, next to, that exist next to these groups. We'll try, of course, from the whole world clay to connect to you and cause you a feeling of warmth and connection. There's no choice. We must do it. It's good that you feel that you need to correct yourself, but it's not gonna work unless you connect to everyone. Not only on the inside, but specifically also on the outside. What else, Denise?
Yeah, the question, we actually have two questions. When the protests, Ethiopian protests started, it was written about it in all the countries in the world. White people were really amazed. How could it be that in the people of Israel, among the people of Israel, there is such a situation where Jews divided into white people and not white people. Maybe we should publish materials in regard to that, because it really rips up all the possible stereotypes about Jews, actually, what happened with the Ethiopians. This is one thing.
We need to explain it of Israel, and that awakens many questions. It can't be amidst the people of Israel that come from the seed of Abraham, as we call it, from the same method of connection that was in Babylon, that somehow exists among the people of Israel. There can't be a group that has such a behavior. This evokes many questions. Many questions. That's one thing. On the other hand, this group was not treated the right way. I guess they had to be treated much more, not just formally and not simply with some money and apartments, but really deep social treatment, spread them around more, educate them differently. This wasn't done. So now it's a grave problem. It is a problem when we see it. This is a big miss on the Ethiopians. So it's a question. But whatever might be, they are here, and the state didn't understand. In general, the state does not understand how to work on connection and education of the people, and that the people of Israel cannot exist unless there will be connection and education, or education for connection. And this was never done, and we see the result. Let's hope that this will shake people up a little bit. I don't think anything can shake up the government other than their seats, but the people could be awakened, and consequently maybe a movement will be established that would think, how do we get educated and educate one another? And there might be a change. But the problem remains a very big problem, and it will come to us from all sides, from everywhere else in the world, where the world thinks, how can it be in Israel that such Israel, for people to behave in this way? Next.
And one more question, what Eddie talked about. When you prepared for Rosa, I remember Oren, every morning we went over these materials, Peace in the World, and so on, and Oren read a sentence, after which you explained. One sentence, and you explained it in simple words. So at least back then in Russia, we also made a newspaper, and we disseminated eventually a million newspapers. A newspaper. It's a shame that Pasha's not here.
Pasha is there, no? Is Pasha there? Stepped out. I saw him there.
In any case, if all of us will start studying these articles this way once again, with the purpose of explaining them to the masses, going sentence by sentence, I'm sure that the situation will 100% change, and we'll find the words how to explain, not only in Hebrew, but also in Russian and other languages. So all of us together will be able to disseminate it in the people of Israel.
And it's tough to talk about both. Toronto? Toronto.
Hello, Rav, dear World Klee. Я хотел на русском буду говорить.
Всему
российскому Кли хотел сказать.
I wanted to tell the entire Russian-speaking Кли and their center that's sitting in Moscow. Toronto would like to use this opportunity. We have a special meeting this evening. So thank you for giving us subject to pray about. We were holding you in our hearts. You have to know that we love you, that without you we won't exist either. We're all one whole and complete Kli, and to say we want to really thank the Creator for all of these opportunities where we can ascend and descend and really connect above all of that. And it's a very good indication for our next degree. We're really, thank you very much for everything you did for us. We really need you.
Ve mitzvotecha ve kiratanu marav. Yeshivat.